Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a big day, explosive day, breaking news, and the president's going to speak soon. But here's the bottom line if you're just joining me. Number one, the weather stinks, so be careful. It's crazy out there, and it's going to be crazy for the next several hours. There's events being canceled all over the place. So as Mama Zioli would say, be careful, baby. All right. These documents that have been declassified show a number of different things. And I'm going to say this every hour. Road Warrior was right. So Russia did not hack Hillary Clinton's emails. Apparently now that was all a fugazi, according to the documents. And apparently, according to the documents, and again, everyone is saying apparently because, you know, the question of the authenticity of this stuff is even Grassley is making sure that we, you know, we say, like, you know, assuming all this is real here. Hillary Clinton directly authorized this through her people. Now, I have no reason to believe that this isn't real. It makes perfect sense. But obviously, as you're talking about all this, as you're putting all this out there, you have to say things like this alleges because we have not had a trial yet. We've not had an actual. You know what I'm saying? So and there's potential serious criminal violations that took place here. So much like how you would say this person allegedly stole money or this person allegedly did this. You have to say that in the context of this, which is why you see alleged. Now, the media is going to spin that to say, well, I mean, you know, this could all be just made up. It's not made up. These documents are not fabricated. Nobody is making up documents that link Hillary Clinton and George Soros to Russiagate. John Durham's report alleges this. And then what you do is you refer this for criminal prosecution. Then they review it and see if there's enough evidence for an indictment, if it hasn't passed the statute of limitations. And then you would charge somebody, you would allege that they've committed crimes, and then you would have a court finding by a jury to determine innocence, or I should say guilt or not guilt, innocence. Yeah. So when you hear that these documents allege this, that's why that language is important. But what they allege here are very, very serious allegations of direct knowledge by the Democrat candidate for president of the United States, who, let's not forget, was the Secretary of State of the United States of America, who alleged that Donald Trump was a Russian asset and who lied her ass off about it and made everybody believe Donald Trump was a Russian asset with the help of, allegedly, John Brennan, James Clapper, and James Comey. And Barack Obama. And I don't have to say allegedly with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page because, I mean, those two idiots were texting each other and flat out saying that they would stop him. But as all of this comes out, the question becomes, is it prosecutable? Can you charge them? Can Congress do something about it? And the answer to all this, as far as I can tell, is yeah. Yes, I have no reason to believe the answer to that is no. But I'm putting that point out there because obviously, as the stories say, these documents allege, the only way to prove this is in a courtroom or in a congressional proceeding. These findings by John Durham are incredibly compelling. And if it's true, then holy cow. I have no reason to doubt that it's true based on everything that's coming out right now. But that's why you refer these things for criminal prosecution. That's why John Ratcliffe has done that, the CIA director. And as Tulsi Gabbard has pointed out multiple times, I'm not an attorney. I don't know if this is something that can be prosecuted. I don't know. That's up to the Justice Department. So the Justice Department, as far as it's concerned, believes these documents to be authentic, believes these declassified documents showing George Soros and Hillary Clinton's work here to frame Donald Trump as a Russian asset, to frame Russia for hacking her emails, et cetera, et cetera. Big if true. And I don't doubt them. I don't think there's any doubt in Tulsi Gabbard, John Ratcliffe's mind, Donald Trump's mind, anyone else's mind that it's true. And so when the Department of Justice then does the next step here, I don't think Kash Patel doubts it. I don't think Pam Bondi doubts it. I think the next step then is then you start throwing out some indictments. And then you let a grand jury decide if they believe that there's a there there. And then ultimately you let a jury decide. That's how I think this can play out here. But again, I'm not an attorney either. And I'm not certainly familiar with criminal law beyond what I see on television. But we had a very smart attorney on the show last week, Will Chamberlain, who explained that if this is a conspiracy, and it certainly seems like it is, because you're involving more than a couple people here, and now you've added another name to the mix, which is George Soros. You have a conspiracy of people here, then that's RICO. There's no statute of limitations on that. That statute, or there is, but the statute of limitations is extended to the last time that they were engaged in this. So the statute of limitations extends by window because of the nature of the conspiracy. And there's another aspect of this, too, which is another smart lawyer, John, you broke down, which is that it was within the last 5 years that they were testifying on these things, which is still within the statute of limitations. So based on the fact that these actors were still engaged in this conspiracy, the statute of limitations window has not closed yet. And I don't think it's closed yet on Hillary Clinton. I don't think it's closed on George Soros. I don't think it's closed on anybody. So the answer is, if these allegations are true, only a jury would determine that in a trial. And if a jury determines that, then people can, yes, go to prison. Now, there's another way, too, which is that Congress could determine that through a trial in the Senate vis-a-vis impeachment of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. You can still impeach her, even though she's out of office. You could still impeach Barack Obama for this. You could still impeach Joe Biden for this. I mean, there are certain people that you can still, through Congress, hold politically liable. There's no statute of limitation on that. You know, there's a belief that you don't impeach people who've left office, but it's not written in stone because they impeached Donald Trump after he left office. The finding by the Senate was not guilty. And Mitch McConnell was out there saying, I don't believe we should vote. I think he's guilty, but I'm not going to vote guilty because he's out of office. But there's no constitutional limit on it. So to answer the question that's on everybody's mind right now, which is that as this information comes out that alleges all these things, can we prove it in a court of law or can we prove it in Congress? And by can, meaning is there a method to do so? The answer to that is yes. Will they be successful in doing so? That I don't know. No one does. But like any prosecutor would say, looking at the evidence we have here, we can probably build a pretty compelling case that these people engage in a conspiracy to try to bring down Donald Trump. And then we'll let a jury of 12 people make that determination. Now, the jury would be comprised most likely, and again, I'm not a lawyer here, but assuming that jury is comprised in Washington, D.C., it's like anything else. You don't know for sure. That's why, as we're talking about all this, you have to say these things allege this because in the matter of these people are now being accused of in my opinion, serious violations of federal law here. I mean, serious criminal conspiracy potential charges could apply to these individuals. And then a jury would have to find them guilty of it. But then there's the court of public opinion. And holding Democrats accountable in the court of public opinion is also something we have going for us, too. So there's multiple ways by which you can hold people accountable here. But for my money, I'd like to see it done through a legal process. That way we can say definitively they've been found guilty by either a jury, by Congress, whatever, so that it's even beyond just the court of public opinion. But the court of public opinion is still very strong here and very powerful. And in the court of public opinion, there's no question in my mind that people are waking up to the fact that these people did it. And by it, I mean they orchestrated this Russia hoax to go after a private citizen, Donald Trump, who just had the audacity to run for president. And in doing so, lied to a whole bunch of people and used federal resources to do so. See, now we're getting into another area here, in which case these are not just political actors. You know, it's one thing for a campaign to use dirty tricks. And campaigns do that all the time. I've worked on campaigns that have allegedly done dirty tricks. Campaigns do that stuff constantly. That's different than when you're using federal assets like the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the White House. That's different. You know what I mean? The campaigns out there alleging that somebody's a Russian asset, that's one thing. People lie in campaigns all the time. That's as old as politics. But when you're involving the federal government's resources in that lie, now you've done something that rises to a whole other level of criminality. Because our government is not supposed to be playing politics. Our government's not supposed to be doing that stuff. Obviously. So that's how I see all this as we continue along here. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Veneria Dental. He's the guy to see because it's about care, it's about compassion, and giving you a beautiful smile. And that's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Let me play for you this montage of Hillary Clinton. So the reason why this Russia stuff matters to such a degree is that she would go on for years and she would lie about this. And it's a series of flashbacks put together by Colin Rugg on X. It's a montage, as they say. Now, I'm going to talk over this, but let's take a listen and a watch if you're on YouTube. And please, I'd love to hear from you. So call the show and give me your gut instinct in what you think is going to happen here. And if nothing is the answer, that's okay, too. 855-839-1210. Make Matt DeSantis work by calling the show. All right, here's Cut 13. Take a watch and a listen.
The connections and the meetings and the calls and all of that has gone on. Now, there's a lot of smoke, and whether or not there's fire, we need to figure it out. But here is what's important. Put the investigation into Trump, his associates, and everybody else to one side. There is no denying mm-hmm. that the Russians interfered in the election.
Yeah. Right.
Whether or not they had willing or unwitting help from the Trump team, mm-hmm. they interfered, and they did so to help him and hurt me, and they did so to destabilize our democracy, and they have not stopped.
What's not clear from your book is whether you think that the Trump campaign was colluding in this.
We don't know the answer to that. That is part of what is being explored. There are some serious questions, because what happened when the emails of my campaign manager, John Podesta, were stolen by the Russian intelligence services, then they
That's
were
a lie.
Conveyed to WikiLeaks, which is basically now a mouthpiece for Russia authoritarianism. And then they were released on the very same day that the Hollywood Access tape came out showing Trump you know, bragging about sexual assault.
Also a lie.
Then they were what we call weaponized, so that they were turned into phony news stories, they were turned into Facebook posts, and then they were targeted at specific voters. The question is, where did the Russians get that kind of targeting information? And, you know, that is one of the unanswered questions that investigators in Congress and the special counsel are looking into. The
Just Russian pause it for a second here. Where did they get it? They didn't get it. They never did it. You did it. Your campaign did it. Your campaign did all of this with the help of the FBI and the CIA. And first of all, Donald Trump is not bragging about sexual assault. As an aside, he says there and they let you do it. So then it's not assault if they let you do it. But, you know, I'm just clarifying that for the record. But all of the lies. And if you notice, the first clip was her in The View and she goes, and they're still doing it. Now, that's important to note. OK, keep that in mind. They're still doing it. All right. Keep going.
Engaged in espionage against Americans. They have hacked American websites, American accounts of private people, of institutions. Then they have given that information to WikiLeaks for the purpose of putting it on the internet. This has come from the highest levels of the Russian government, clearly from Putin himself, in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election. So I actually think the most important question of this evening, Chris, is, finally, will Donald Trump admit and condemn that the Russians are doing this and make it clear that he will not have the help of Putin in this election, that he rejects Russian espionage against Americans, which he actually encouraged in the past? Those are the questions we need answered. We've never had anything like this happen in any of our elections before.
I mean, if you're going to let Russia get away with what they did, and are still doing, according to Christopher Wray, the current FBI director who said that last week, they're in our election systems. We're worried about 2020, he said.
Okay. Let's jump into the president. He's speaking live from the White House, but that point on Christopher Wray is the point I made to you earlier, which is that he could have come out and said the laptop is not Russian disinformation, but he didn't. So he let it. He let it be believed by everybody that this was Russian disinformation. And he told social media and he told social media companies that something big was coming from Russia, which would lead them to ban the New York Post story on the Hunter Biden laptop. Which is why I say to you, Chris Wray, his name needs to be said here over and over and over again. All right, let's jump into the president speaking at the White House right now on an executive order to establish presidential fitness tests in schools.
Championships, but U.S. amateur champion. And then, as you know, he won at Wingfoot, won the U.S. Open and Pinehurst. And Bryson has always been a phenomenal ambassador to sports and to golf, but to generally to life, in my opinion. He's a smart guy and a good guy, great guy, loves our country. We're also pleased to be joined by Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Bobby, do a great job. He's got some big things happening, and he's got some big statements to be made very shortly in terms of over the next few months in terms of what they've been doing and finding answers to some very, very important questions. Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, who's phenomenal, wherever you may be, Linda. Hi, Linda. What are you doing back there? And look, you've been reading about her exploits and the job that she's been doing, and we're very proud of her. Council Executive Director Catherine Granito, thank you very much. Thank you. Great job. And several other new members of the council, including J.D. is here. Fantastic. And several other new members of the council, including J.D. is here. Our fantastic Vice President and Scott Bessent. And we're making a lot of deals. We're making deals for trillions, trillions and trillions. Nobody's ever seen anything quite like it. We just made a couple of others a little while ago. I don't know if you'd be interested right now. I won't even bother telling you. This is about sports and about health. One of the best defensive players ever, I think probably acknowledged to be the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL, a friend of mine for a long time. Too long, right, Lawrence? Lawrence Taylor, he's an incredible guy. And just been my friend a long time, have we? Knew him forever. One of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, a young guy still. He can kick it long. I think he's, I guess he's considered the best there is in the business, Harrison Butker. So, Harrison, where are you, Harrison? He's a handsome guy, by the way. I didn't, it's usually not my thing, but he is a good-looking sucker. One of the truly greatest golfers ever to play on the LPGA Tour. A lot of people say the greatest female player ever, and a lot of people would say just one of the best players ever. She's phenomenal. I've played a lot of golf with Annika Sorenstam, and she's amazing. Just had an incredible, really storied career. Hall of Famer, by easily a Hall of Famer, by the way, right at the top of the list. So it's great to have you with us, Annika, and say hello to the family. And then she was here not so long ago with Gary Player, where she got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and so did he. He's won 168 tournaments and 18 majors, 9-9, and she's the same in terms of the women's game. But that was a great time. It was a great honor to give it to you. You really deserved it. It's the highest medal you can get outside of the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's the military version, and the other is the Presidential Medal, and you got it. So thank you very much. 14-time WWE World Champion, and he's a man who you're not going to mess around with. Even Bryson said, I think I'll take a pass on him, right? You're going to take. And he's another one who's been my friend for a long time. He's really an amazing athlete, Triple H. Here he is. Oh, that's still very strong. He's a strong guy. And it's great to have you. And you felt very strongly about this, about the council.
100%.
Yep. Well, it's a great honor to have you. Offensive lineman, NFL, very respected, very smart.
I want to mention something to you, because I'm going to take a quick break. We'll come back so that, you know, hopefully we can hear the president take some questions. But the introduction part. Tulsi Gabbard revealed today that people in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, their staff were threatened to go along with the Obama-Russia-Russiagate hoax. And she put out a whole thing on Twitter, and there's a story at the Post-Millennial about this today, where she broke all this down, that whistleblower's firsthand account of what happened in the crafting of that January 2017 intelligence community assessment. And this whistleblower came out and said that they were threatened by a supervisor to go along with the Obama-directed Russia hoax intelligence assessment, even though they knew it was not credible or accurate, and the whistleblower refused. Okay? All right, what we're going to do is this. I'm going to tell you about my friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, and then we're going to come back and listen to more of the president. Hopefully he'll take some questions and he'll talk about Russiagate, because I think this is a really, really big deal, obviously. But if you're bummed about summer coming to an end, first of all, don't be, because we'll be back at the Grand Hotel on August 15th for our next live show. All right, that's number one. Number two, even though summer's flying by, you can extend it by going to Cape May in the fall, because Cape May is beautiful in the fall. And the Grand Hotel has several special packages to make your getaway even grander. You can book a grand escape weekend this fall and earn resort credits, or make it a September to remember and book a September stay, still earn resort credits, and save 10% off room rates. Just check out their website for details. Always book direct with them for the best rates and resort credits. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding. Baby or bridal shower with four ballrooms. They have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call my friend Caitlin. She was named the 2025 Face of South Jersey Weddings, and she is fantastic and a great friend. And you'll love Cape May in the fall, because the crowds are gone, the weather is beautiful, and you'll absolutely love being there. All right? Always book direct with them for the best rates. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's jump back into the president here speaking at the White House right now as he's talking about banning men from competing in women's sports at the White House, among other things.
Very, very bad for women. Very bad what's happening, because now all of a sudden there's no women that are able to get the money that they're talking about. You know, it seems to be going mostly to football, some basketball, and women's sports are being totally decimated.
It's about college sports.
You know, with this, it's all going into football and some to basketball, and everything else is being left behind. And women are being left behind, and lesser sports are being left behind, and the Olympics is being decimated because that was like training for the Olympics, and now we're not going to have that many of those sports left. The smaller sports, they're almost going to be completely wiped out. This is crazy what's going on. We banned men from competing in women's sports, and last week the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee announced that they will be complying with that order, so there won't be men playing in women's sports. That seemed like an easy one. They say it's an 80-20 issue during the campaign. I said, no, that's not 80-20. That's 97-3. Maybe it's 98-2, perhaps. And last Thursday, we terminated third-party pay-for-play schemes in collegiate athletics and effectively saving. We saved college sports, but now we have to make it. We have to heal it because it's really a mess. It's a real mess. This council will play an important role in shaping these new policies and ensuring that we preserve the American athletic tradition for many generations to come. And in the years ahead, we'll have the chance to showcase our nation's athletic dominance in the world stage as we host the America 250. So we have America 250, and we have... it's going to be incredible, the Patriot Games. But we have the Ryder Cup. We have the President's Cup. We have the 2026 FIFA World Cup. So we have the World Cup here. We have the 2028 Olympics. So when they cheated on the election and they picked somebody that wasn't supposed to be there, I was very upset before that because I got the Olympics and I got the World Cup. I was the one that did it. That I can't say I got America 250. It just happened to be 200. I'd like to take credit for that, but I don't think I'll be able to. But we have a big thing coming up. But I was very upset because I got them, and it was skipped an election season. And so it took place in the next term after the term that we were supposed to have. And I was extremely angry. And then when I won, I said, wait a minute, I think I just picked up the Olympics and I just picked up the World Cup. So it worked out sort of cool. But I want to... again, thank everybody in the council. They want to work, too. These are people that really, we only do it by request. And people, they want to work and they want to make things better. And I hope they can make college sports better. They can heal it. They can find a solution. It's not going to be that easy. But you have a lot of smart people. So I'd like to begin by introducing Bryson to say a few words. And then we'll have Triple H and we'll have a couple of other people say something. And then I'm going to sign that good-looking couple of pieces of paper, and it means a lot. It's going to be a very important council, and thank you all for being here. Bryson, please.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. And first off, I'd like to say thank you to President Trump and Vice President Vance for your support and this initiative and council. And to be honest, I never would have thought that this opportunity would have been here right at our doorstep. We have an opportunity at being the 70th anniversary of the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition to literally change the fabric of kids' lives. And our first initiative is to bring back and reignite the President's fitness test, and then also reestablish some key other metrics on guidelines around building some communities, and also, again, with the President's initiatives around college, we think we can help in that regard, too. But we've got a great established council with us that we believe we can change the fabric of our communities and kids' livelihoods for the future generations that are to come. I can't thank you guys enough and looking forward to making massive changes in kids' lives and in our America's future. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say the same. Thank you to President Trump. Thank you for this honor. I'm humbled by it. I'm truly honored to be on this. Vice President Vance, thank you very much. Secretary Kennedy, truly appreciate all that everybody is doing for the health and wellness of the entire country. For me, since I was 14, this has been such an important part of my life. Health, fitness, sports, nutrition, all of it. I think learning that at a young age sets you up for success in life. And without it, you're at a lesser place for it. So I look forward to the opportunity to do this. I look forward to the opportunity to help make our youth healthy, help get them engaged in sports, and let them learn what it takes to be successful in life. So thank you very much for the honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bobby, please. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
In December of 1960, a month after he won the election, my uncle, who was about to be president, wrote an article for Sports Illustrated called The Soft American. And he was lamenting the fact that America had prided itself on its beef jerky toughness and that we were losing that. We were falling behind Europeans. We were falling behind other nations. And he was signaling with that article that he was going to make physical fitness of our kids the centerpiece of his administration. And I'm so grateful to President Trump for bringing back this tradition. I was talking to Paul before we went in here. We were part of the Council on Physical Fitness when we were kids. And you had to do sit-ups, you had to do pull-ups, you had to do shuttle runs, you had to do one-mile runs. And they awarded the top 15% with a patch and with recognition and with certificates. And for me, it was a huge item of pride when I was growing up. And we need to reinstill that spirit of competition and that spirit and that commitment to nutrition and physical fitness. And I'm so grateful to President Trump for your leadership in bringing this back for our country.
Thank you very much. Honor, representing the great women in sports, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, Vice President Vance. This is truly an honor. I want to thank the team behind me here for giving us trust to be able to do this. Sport has always been part of my life, and the importance of living a healthy, active lifestyle is cannot be any more important than nowadays. So thank you for the trust, and I can't wait to get to work to make a difference in kids' lives, but also in people's lives. I think the time is so important. Obesity is as high as it's ever been. Mental health, as we all know, the need ought to be tackled. So thank you for the trust, and look forward to going to work with the team behind me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Lawrence, you want to say a few words? Come on up. Come on. He's a little shy, but once he gets going, nobody can stop.
Oh, no, don't stop. I'm just proud to be on this team. I don't know why. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve, and I'm here to serve you. Okay, so I'm going to do the best I can for as long as I can. Thank you very much.
Nobody like him. Come on, young superstar.
Obviously very excited to be here. Thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me to serve on the council. Just excited to do my part to help make America healthy again, to help our youth be healthy and thrive and grow up and be great citizens of this country and be great family members and contribute to this great country. And I think you have to be strong in mind, in body, and soul. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Great
thank
honor.
You.
Thank you very much.
Okay, sure, sir. Well, thank you all, and thanks to the president for setting up this important commission. Thanks to all the great athletes for lending their credibility to it. I think all of us who have young kids at home just know that kids are healthier, they're happier, they do better when they're out there, they're being active, they're playing in sports, they're hanging out with their friends. I think all of us have thought at one point in the last few years that kids spend a little too much time on their phones, maybe a little bit too much time in front of the TV, and we just want kids to do better. We want them to be healthier, we want them to be happier, and we know that getting out there, playing in sports, and being active and healthy and physically fit is a critical part of this. So all due credit to the President and Secretary Kennedy's leadership. This is all about just making our kids better citizens, better people, and happier in their daily lives. And I think this is a great team to get it accomplished. Thank you, sir.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's sign this. Linda, come on. We'll sign this for Linda.
The president's going to sign the executive order expanding Fitness and Sports Council. We'll keep it going. I'm just going to talk over it for a minute. This is important as a dad of three kids, I can tell you. All of the work on trying to make our kids have access to healthier things in school and food. I told you, the biggest frustration as a parent is that you wind up sending your kid with healthy food, but they're surrounded by junk all the time. And then, of course, to make sure that the kids are active and they're healthy, and so that matters too. And some of the wokeness around getting rid of physical fitness standards was because, well, not everybody could do it because they weren't healthy because we had an obesity. We do have a childhood obesity problem, so they kind of got away from that. But we're getting back to that, which is good. So as a parent, I love hearing all this. I think it's great. I think it's really important. And
Lawrence Taylor's
there. That was
so well. Sports heroes. I've admit a lot. I was always a person that loved playing sports. I was good at sports. When you were really focused on sports, you thought about nothing else. It was nothing else outside. It kept you. And to an extent, this is one of the reasons I like golf. You get away for a couple of hours. I play quickly and get through it, and for 2 hours you're not thinking about all of the nonsense and all of the important things, frankly, but it cleans your mind. No, I think sports is so important. I think what this council is doing is going to be very important, and it gives you a little exercise, sometimes a lot of exercise. It's a great thing. Sports are you learn about people, and you learn about how people compete. Now, it doesn't mean that if somebody's not a good athlete, a lot of people just are not good athletes, so they can't compete. But you learn about the people playing sports and playing sports with and against some. So I've always loved it. It's been very important to me. These people are, inspirations. These are the top people in their individual sports. The council itself, I mean, they have some of the greatest champions, for the most part, the greatest champions in their sport. So they really understand sports, and understanding it's very important. Thank you for the question. Yeah, please. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. President, can you talk about your plans for the new ballroom that was announced today?
Yeah.
And the $200 million, that's going to be paid for by yourself?
By me, yeah.
Private donations?
It's a private thing, yeah. I'll do it, and we'll probably have some donors or whatever, but it's about $200 million. So we've been planning for a long time. They've wanted a ballroom at the White House for more than 150 years, but there's never been a president that was good at ballrooms. I'm really good. In fact, I looked at one that we just built in Turnberry in Scotland, and it's incredible. We're good at building. I'm good at building things, and we'll get it built quickly and on time. It'll be beautiful, top of the line. We've retained the best architects and engineers, everything else. It'll be built over on the east side. And it will be beautiful. It'll be views of the Washington Monument. It won't interfere with the current building. It won't be. It'll be near it, but not touching it. And pays total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of. It's my favorite. It's my favorite place. I love it. But they've wanted it. And, you know, when they have big events, you entertain the president of China or the president of any place, and you have big crowds. They've always had to get a tent. And you've probably been to some of them, Bobby. When it rains, it's a disaster. And the tent's 100 yards. That's more than a football field away from the main entrance. And people are schlopping down to the tent. It's not a pretty sight. The women with their lovely evening gowns, all of their hair all done, and they're a mess by the time they get. And they've always wanted to have it. And I said, you know, in the first term, I said, you know, if I get another shot at this, I'm going to do a ballroom. I was pretty busy in the first because I was running the country, and I was also fighting for survival with all of the lunatics I had to beat. But it worked out, obviously, it worked out very well because here we are. But I always said I was going to do something about the ballroom because they should have one.
So we'll be leaving it. It'll be a great legacy project, and I think it'll be special. You saw some renderings of the initial. I think it'll be really beautiful.
No government dollars at all.
No government dollars, no.
It's been an extremely busy week between its executive order, trade, Russia, Gaza, but also the family of Virginia Giuffre released a statement overnight in response to some of the comments that you made this week. You said that Jeffrey Epstein stole people from Mar-a-Lago. At the time, did you know why he was taking those young women, including Virginia?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I would figure it was ABC fake news that would ask that question, one of the worst. But no, I don't know really why. But I said, if he's taking anybody from Mar-a-Lago, he's hiring or whatever he's doing. I didn't like it. And we threw him out. We said, we don't want him, you know, at the place. This is a story that's been known for many years, as you know. But I didn't like it that he was doing that. Yeah, please.
If Canada moves forward with recognizing the Palestinian state, is that a deal breaker for you?
Well, we're going to see. No, I didn't like what they said, but, you know, that's their opinion. I didn't like that. Not a deal breaker, but we haven't spoken to Canada today. He's called, and we'll see. But we have made a few deals today that are excellent deals for the country. You know, we're taking in literally trillions of dollars for the country. This is making our country very rich and respected again. We have, you know, I tell these people, and I say it as much as I have to say it, but every leader is at NATO, and I was in the Middle East with the three great countries, three great leaders, Qatar, you know, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and everybody said the same thing, all of the NATO countries. Essentially, they said that we were a dead country. 1 year ago, we were a dead country. Now we're the hottest country in the world. Look at you people. We're the hottest country anywhere in the world. We're doing great. Yeah, do you have a...
Canada currently. What's the holdup with the negotiations with Canada?
Well, they have to pay a fair rate. That's all. It's very simple. They have been charging very, very high tariffs to our farmers, some over 200%. And they've been treating our farmers very badly. They've been treating our country very badly for years. And look, we like Canada. I love Canada. I have so many friends in Canada. But they've been very poorly led. They've been very, very poorly led. And all we want is fairness for our country. That's all. You know, they want to be under the, as we call it, the Golden Dome. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to pay for that. They want a lot of things from our country, and for years we did it. We basically protect them with our military. They spend very little money on their military, as you know. Not an acceptable amount of money. Yeah, please.
Thanks a lot, Mr. President. Your tariffs policy goes into effect tomorrow.
Yeah.
As you know, a federal appellate court today heard oral arguments about whether or not you had the authority to unilaterally impose those tariffs. I'm not going to get you to weigh in on the legal arguments, but you're weighing your decision to do that, your authority to do that, based on a 1977 law. It's never been invoked before. Why didn't you invoke this law?
Well, we've been winning all along.
I just want to ask you, why didn't you invoke this law in your first term? You could have taken in billions upon billions of dollars in your first term, but you waited until your second term.
Yeah, because in my first term, I was fighting lunatics like you who were trying to do things incorrectly and inappropriately to a president that was duly elected. And we did do certain tariffs in the first term. If you look at China, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars from China. But when COVID came, the last thing I was going to do is tell France and Italy and Spain and a couple of other countries that we're going to hit you with tariffs. We had to fight the COVID situation when that came. But if you look at my first term, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars worth of tariffs, but you people didn't cover it very well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm representing the foreign policy today. I'm asking you two questions on foreign policy. The first one, do you plan to re-engage diplomatically with Iran, go with direct talks with them, or are you happy with the current situation, having no deal with Iran?
Well, Iran has been acting very badly. They were decimated, their nuclear capability, that potential, which could have happened within 3 or 4 weeks, was decimated. It's been obliterated. The Atomic Energy Commission said the place is just decimated. Now they can start again, but they'd start in different sites because they were hit. I tell you what, the job these pilots did with their B-2 bombers, those unbelievable machines, they traveled 36 hours without stop. and they hit every single target. Every bomb hit every. They went right down to the chutes, and then, as you know, we shot 30 rockets from submarines that were hundreds of miles away, and they hit every target. So they can start again, but they haven't been saying the right thing. I will say Iran has not been saying the right thing. They have not been speaking nicely, and they should be. Yeah, please.
Not lowering interest rates again. Many people say that he's playing politics with the futures of millions.
Well, he is. We call him too late. He's too late. It's his new nickname. He's too late, pal. He's terrible, the Federal Reserve Chairman. Not only that, he's building a building. He's at $2.9 billion. It's actually $3.1 if you include other areas that are essentially the same thing. Way over budget. Has no idea what he's doing. And I would say he's probably good at that compared to what he does with interest rates. But, you know, we have him there. And it was a mistake. I put him in and then Biden extended him. And Biden only extended him because he knew I couldn't stand him. And that turned out to be not a good thing for Biden. Although he did lower interest rates just prior to the election. Didn't work out too well for them. But he did lower them pretty substantially just prior to the election. No, he's a political hack, not very good. He's not a smart guy, right?
Mr. President, sports fans have been very supportive. You go back to the original names of Cleveland Indians, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, I love that. I love the sound of that.
Well,
I do the Washington Redskins. I think they should do it. I told the mayor and I told people that they should bring back the name. If they bring back the name, you'll have a lot of excitement. And I mean, Cleveland Indians, how about that? That was an original franchise, 1903 or something, 1906, an original, the Cleveland Indians. And what do? They change the name from Indians. What's wrong with the word Indian? You know who is upset about it? The Indians are upset about it. They're upset about Redskins, too. So Redskins, I guess you'd say it was a little bit lesser of a case, but people want to see the Redskins, and the Indians want to see the Redskins back. No, I recommend it. I was asked that question the other day. The Washington Redskins, it's a fabled franchise. And now, I don't even know what the hell their last name is. What are they, Commanders or something? Is it Commanders? That's not a good name.
Mr. President Biden, sir, may I ask you a question?
Wait a minute. No, not you. You.
Mr. President, Kamala Harris, as you know, is not running for governor of California. She's not going to do it. What do you see in her political future, sir?
Well, she can't speak. She can't talk. She can't do an interview. I thought it was a very strange campaign that we had. But, you know, I had two of them. We were up by, like, this massive number of points on Biden, and they said, let's change to Kamala. Nobody knew who Kamala was. Nobody knew her last name, Harris. They said, we're going to get Vice President Harris. Everyone said, who the hell is Harris? They only knew her by the first name. But no, I thought she was a terrible candidate. Look, don't forget, she didn't really get the nomination. I mean, that whole nomination was strange. She was the first one out. You know, she took a good amount of points with her when she announced, but nobody knew her. And once they got to know her, she dropped out very shortly after she started. And she started with a pretty good, you know, she was like in second or third place. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call her a skilled politician. Would you?
She's also coming out with
a
book. Any plans to buy it?
I don't know. I think I'm going to buy it. I'd love to see it. No. I'd find it. Look, I find everything in politics interesting. I sort of enjoy politics. She wasn't a skilled person. You know, you have skilled politicians, really skilled politicians, and then you have some that aren't. And she was put in a very tough position, I think. She did have a six-week honeymoon. They told me, the pros said, you know what, she's going to have a six-week. And she did. She was, like, untouchable in terms of everybody thought great. But she didn't do any interviews or anything, which was strange. Not even friendly interviews with friendly reporters like her right there, a really friendly reporter. And you know what happened? People said, what's wrong with her? Why isn't she doing? She made a mistake. She should have done interviews. She didn't run a great campaign, but we beat Biden, and then we had to beat. Nobody's beaten two. I had to beat two. That's like Dana White. The great Dana White has a fight, and he has a fighter that's getting the hell knocked out of him. They say, well, let's take him out and put somebody else in. Didn't seem fair to me at the time, but where are we? We're in the White House. So, I mean, you know, so it worked out.
Mr. Very serious question here. Russia today hit Kyiv with missiles and drones. More than 100 people, kids.
I think it's disgusting. Russia? I think it's disgusting what they're doing. I think it's disgusting. This is Biden's war. It's not my war. But I said if I get in, I'll try and get the thing stopped. But I think what Russia's doing is very sad. A lot of Russians are dying. You have a lot of Russians. More Russians are dying. But Russians are dying. Ukrainians are dying. You know, the United States isn't really involved in that war. It shouldn't be. And by the way, I made a deal with NATO where NATO pays us for everything that we send. We send them ammunition, missiles, etc. And we're not paying anything for that war. But I will tell you this, it should be stopped. It's a disgrace. And the ones that are dying are so they're losing 7,000 now. It was 5,000. They're losing now 7,000 soldiers a week, Ukrainian soldiers and Russian soldiers. And they're also losing people now in the towns and cities because Putin's hitting them with rockets. No, I think it's disgraceful.
You have a 10-day deadline. You imposed a 10-day deadline.
Yeah, we have about 8,000. So, yeah, we're going to put sanctions. I don't know that sanctions bother him. You know, they know about sanctions. I know better than anybody about sanctions and tariffs and everything else. I don't know if that has any effect, but we're going to do it. Europe is extremely upset. But this is a war that should have never happened. This is a war that wouldn't have happened if I were president. And this is Biden's war. This was a stupid war to get into. Should have never gotten into this war. Yeah, going to Israel, and then he's going to Russia, believe it or not.
Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that what is occurring there is a genocide. Do you agree?
Well, it's terrible what's occurring there, yeah. It's a terrible thing. People are very hungry. You know, the United States gave $60 million for food, and it's a shame because I don't see the results of it. And we gave it to people that, in theory, are watching over it fairly closely. We wanted Israel to watch over it. Part of the problem is Hamas is taking the money and they're taking the food. But we gave $60 million a couple of weeks ago. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody said thank you. But I didn't need the thank you. I just wanted the people to get fed. And we're helping out financially with that situation. It's a terrible situation. So just to conclude, I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank you for being here. This is a great group of people, and it's a good feeling. You know, when we were when we first came to office, this country was really in trouble. And now we're rich as hell, and we're doing amazing things. And we really are. We're the hottest country in the world, and I like that. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. The president speaking at the White House. I was hoping he was going to get a question on the revelations around Hillary Clinton and Russiagate today. But a lot to unpack there. We'll do that. We got the 5 o'clock hour coming up. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us. I'll give you all the latest breaking news around Hillary Clinton. And, more outrage over Sidney Sweeney and the jeans commercial. It just doesn't stop. Quick break. We're coming right back, and don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.